We're finishing up Thanksgiving season. We're finishing up Christmas. When we look, we celebrate the greatest gift ever given. Facing a new year, we don't know what this year may bring. We don't know this year may bring Jesus. We don't know. But I know this, living in this time in which we live, most of us would agree, studying the Bible, that we believe we're living in the last days. And if so, then we have to agree that the church age in which we're in, the church Laodicea, is one that is full of counterfeit worship. People that's not even saved, not even been washed, not even had their eyes open, have no faith, trying to worship God. This morning, I want to ask you two questions. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Did you come here to worship God? Did you come this morning to worship? By the way, if I didn't say so, I'm glad to have each of the visitors visiting with us. Good to have each one that showed up. Good to have my uncle and aunt and some friends of theirs that came by this morning. She said he needs some good preaching and thought that this might be a place he might get some. And so I don't know about that. But we'll throw a stab at it anyway. But it is good to have them with us this morning. Luke chapter 7. Two questions. I'm going to ask you now. I'm going to ask you later. Did you come here to worship God? Number two, do you love God? Now you might stand up and say, "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." Do you love him? One time he looked at Peter after Peter denied him three times, and three times he asked him, "Peter, or Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And it frustrated Peter. Sometimes it bothers us. You ever had somebody say, "Do you love me?" Ever had somebody keep asking, "Do you love me?" Well, let me ask you this. Do you love the Lord? This morning we want to read a text, and I preached from this before, different times, different ways. A text, and it involves three main characters. Simon, a Pharisee. Most of you know a Pharisee, a religious conservative during Jesus' time. By his definition, they were hypocrites. They claimed to have a relationship with God, and they had none. They put on a good front for people to see, but yet there was no substance. They painted the outside, but the inside was empty. Then there's this woman. She was there this morning, and she came to his house, and this woman just wasn't any woman. She had a history, and evidently everybody knew her history. She was a harlot. She's someone that had given herself, and evidently she was well known among the community. Then, the third character was most important, Jesus. He was there. He comes into Simon's house, and sitting there, and this woman comes, and she begins to weep and cry and wash Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with the hair of her head. So let's begin reading a story, and I want to bring out some truths here. But I want you to notice that it takes faith to worship God. Now listen to me a minute. If you're here and you're not saved, you can't worship God. You got to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith, you got to have it. The reason why Jesus took note of this woman, even though she was a harlot of past, was her faith. Somebody said, "I have no hope." If you believe in Jesus, you can have hope. Amen. You know what her saving grace was? She had faith. Look on, if you would, beginning in verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Can you get a mental picture of this? Now, this ointment was very expensive. May have been her life savings built up in this thing. But she heard Jesus was there, and she come, and this was her conduct. Now, notice what Simon does. And the Bible says, verse 39, and when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake where? Within himself. In other words, he talked to himself, saying, this man, talking about Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a what? You see, Simon seen Jesus for what the woman was. Simon also seen the woman for what Jesus was. Someone that could change her life. But instead he looked and he said, now if he was really a true prophet, he wouldn't have some woman like that kissing on his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. He would not defile himself with such a wretched person. But you see, Simon didn't understand who Jesus was. Didn't understand what. Look in verse 40. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. He said, there, and he tells him a parable. Knows his parable, next couple of verses. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave what? Forgive them both. He forgave the one that owed 500. He forgave the one that owed 50. Look on. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I enter into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, for she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy what? Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Ask you two questions. Listen to me very carefully. Did you come this morning to worship the Lord? First of all, I've already told you, without faith, it's impossible to worship God. The Bible says, and I often use John chapter 4, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman and his disciples. He told them that the hour was coming, now is, when people would worship the Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth, that the Father sought such to worship him. And the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of people trying to worship him in spirit that has no truth behind what they're worshiping. There's a lot of people that has the truth, but they have no spirit in the service. But God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. I often use this example to the church. Worship is when truth from the Word of God stirs your spirit to such a degree that it makes you want to worship God. You hear something being preached, you read something, you see something in the Bible, and your spirit is stirred with such emotion that you just want to worship God. I was thinking this morning as they were singing the song, I've Been Blessed. And I stirred in my heart and I was thinking about how good God's been. The Bible says the goodness of God worketh repentance in us. We see His goodness and we want to repent before God because He's been so good to us. I don't know about you, but as I heard that, sometimes I get where I say, poor old pitiful me, and then I hear a song like that, and I get counting all my blessings and how good God's been, and I got to say, God, forgive me. You've been a whole lot better than me than I deserve. And by the way, let's not ever, ever, ever forget, Jesus came to die here because we're sinners, not because we're good. Now, the second thing that I want you to remember is this. We love Him because why? We love Him because, and I ask you another question. Do you love Him? If you do, how much do you love Him? If I was to have you stand this morning and I would say, tell us how much you love God. I'm sure a lot of you would be like little children. I love Him this much. But God would say, really? So let's look and see if we love Him. And by the way, let me say this. It's obvious from the reading here, Simon hated this woman. He hated the fact that she had busted in on his dinner with Jesus. She hated the fact that she was in his house. And she hated the fact that she was doing that with Jesus and probably disturbing the conversation. But let me give you three things to think about this morning as far as you worshiping God. Even though he hated her, nobody can keep you from worshiping God if you want to worship God. You say, well, preacher, I would come to worship, but my kids were. Nope. Preacher, I would have been glad to come and worship God this morning, but me and my husband, me and my wife, we got in our. Nope. Nobody can keep you from worshiping God if you want to worship God. Regardless of what else they're doing, you've got to do that. Not only that, can't put the blame on anybody else if you don't worship God. You have a responsibility to worship God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think you preach very well. It don't take me for you to worship God. What you need to do is you need to understand your faith will determine your worship. Jesus told them over there, the woman, look back if you would in verse 47, says, wherefore I say unto her, her sins are many and are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? Her faith is what got Jesus' attention. Her faith is what brought forgiveness to her. Her faith is what enabled her to worship God. And let me say this. Listen to me. If I was asking you today, are you saved? How many of you this morning would say, I'm saved? Raise your hand. You oughtn't be ashamed of that. Now, I won't ask you to raise it this time, but let me ask you this. How many of you that are saved came to worship? Didn't come to see somebody, didn't come to be seen, didn't come because you had to. You come because of Him. You come to worship. You know there's something wrong when we say we're saved and we can't come to the house of God and worship? Now let me show you a couple things real quickly. So here they came and in verse number 37, The Bible says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a what? What? First of all, she did not let her past keep her from being able to worship God. And by the way, we all have past. Somebody said, well, preacher, we're kind of like the old Pharisee in the temple when the publican come in there. And the Pharisee was up there in front standing, and he was professing how he gave tithes and how he fasted, and he was letting God know just how lucky he was to have him. And the old publican was back there in the back, and he was smiting himself on the chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the publican, the Pharisee was up there saying, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that guy back there. But Jesus let it be known that the guy back there was the one who went away saved and blessed, not the one up there patting himself. Now listen to me a minute. Our trouble is we've forgotten who and what we were when God found us. We have this tendency to think that we're not as so-and-so is, and we're glad that we don't do that, or I've never done that. I've had people tell, well, I've never drank. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Some of the best Christians I ever knew had a past that they did. Well, I've never done that. Well, some of the best Christians I know had a past that they did that. And you know what made them so good Christians? It's not that they had the past of what they did. What made this woman so attracted to Jesus that caught his attention was not the fact that she was a harlot. It was a fact of her faith. Now stay with me a minute. Now we know that she's a sinner. Look back in your Bible. Verse number 37. The Spirit of God lets us know she was a sinner, right? Simon knew she was. Look in verse 39. The last part of that said what? For she is a what? No. The Holy Spirit says she's a sinner. Simon says she's a sinner. Look what Jesus said about her in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are what? Are many. You know what Jesus said? She's a sinner. When's the last time you saw yourself? Brother Greg and I had a conversation with a woman this week. She said, I just can't understand seeing myself a sinner after I get saved. You got to look in that mirror. John said this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just forgives our sins and cleanses all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. When's the last time, and you know what, and I mentioned this to the lady, I said, did you know what Paul said about himself? And by the way, I don't want to compare myself to Paul. You know what Paul said? I'm chiefest of all sinners. Those things I would do, I do not. Those things I would not do, I find myself doing those things. What's he trying to get across to us? Listen to me a minute. The closer you get to God, the bigger your sin's going to look. You hear me? Now, when you get away from God and get way over here away from God and you lose fellowship with God, you just continue doing things and things and things, and they don't look so big. But when you draw nigh to God, those things begin to look really big. And the closer you get to God, I told a woman one time, I never saw her on the altar the whole time she came here, freely just come up on her own. And I'll use Doris' example because she's the one she's talking about. Doris had a burden in every service just about it. Doris would come down the altar and fall on the altar. She came to me one time, she said, I'm really concerned about your sister Doris. She must have some really bad things in her life. She comes up there every service. I told her, I said, I'm kind of concerned about yours. I never see you come up. I said, all I hear you is, every time I hear you say something, I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. When's the last time you saw your sin for yourself? This woman was a sinner. But thank God, even though we're a sinner, through Christ's help, we can worship Him. But let me let you in on a secret. If you never see your sin, you'll never worship Him. Now look at the parable. And so Jesus told Simon, so let me give you a parable. Remember the parable we read? He said, now listen, this man had two different debtors. One owed him 500 pence. One owed him 50 pence. And said, you know what? Neither one of them was capable of paying it, so he just forgave them both. Now, which one do you think is going to love him most? Well, Simon said, I guess the guy who he forgave the most from. He says, exactly. Listen to me a minute. I can tell you how much you love God. I ask you, now let me tell you. How much you love God is how much you recognize what God has done for you as a sinner. The more that you see you owe Him for what He's forgiven, the more you will love Him. And if you don't think He forgave you much, and you don't think you were such a bad guy, and you think everything's okay, and you think God's fortunate to have you, then step in the same class as Simon, because that's exactly where he was at. He had no love toward God because he didn't realize, he didn't think he had nothing to be forgiven about. But if you're of the case where you say, oh God, not only where I was when you found me, look how many times I've failed you since you saved my soul. Look how many times, Lord, I fell short. Like that song Amanda sung. I asked her to sing it because it was on my heart this morning. And her mom said it was on her heart too. But I was thinking, how many times will you just keep coming back to Him? And you know what He wants to do out of the depths of our heart? But you know what gets us to want to come to Him and worship Him and love Him? And you know what makes us want to fall at His feet and take our hair and wipe His feet and do everything we can for Him? It's when we see how much we owe Him. Remember I asked you, why do we love God? And you told me because He first loved us. When you see how much love He had for us, it will make you love Him. And when you love Him, you will want to worship Him. And if you can come to the church this morning and you can sit and play games and you can get your phone out and play something, or you can sit there and have your mind on dinner, and you can sit here and be mad at somebody the whole time and not, you've forgotten where you were when God found you. And you're not going to worship Him because you're not thankful for what you've done. But you got to see yourself as a sinner. And notice when everybody classified her as a sinner, she didn't stand up and deny and say, oh, I'm just as good as anybody else is. She took her place as a sinner. And she fell at the feet of Jesus, knowing that she had nothing to offer. And my friend, we have nothing to offer Him. There was no goodness in you that brought Jesus down here. It was your sin that brought Him down here. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. So she was, in spite of her past, she was still able to worship God. The second thing I want you to notice is this. Her faith allowed her to worship even out of her past. Thank God, because we've had a past and because we've did things. How many of you did things in your past that you're completely ashamed of? You don't get any do-overs on that, do you? What if God said, listen, because of what you've done in your past, I don't want nothing to do with you. But you know what? In spite of what this woman had been, she was able to worship God. You know why? Because she realized she had been redeemed. We've been redeemed from our past. We've been purchased, bought. Lady, Brother Greg and I was talking about, she said, I have a hard time understanding how people that are saved, how they can sin. Then I just asked her. I said, do you sin? Her answer was, yes. I said, boy, God's grace is good, isn't it? What if God threw you, well, you sing that song, Throw Clay Away. What if God threw you away every time you marred your clay? And you know what? In spite of this woman's past, she was now able to worship God. God has saved people. It reminds me of the old fella that just, he was full of demons and cutting himself and doing all those things. And Jesus come along, then he's just sitting there worshiping God in his right mind. Thank God your past, if you come to Jesus, will not prevent you from worshiping him. In spite of your past, you can still worship God. And I tell you what, I've done some terrible things in my past, but thank God he still enables me. But you know what? It's when I forget how much I owe him. Then notice what he said. He told the woman, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And her sins were forgiven. So notice this, even beyond her faith, she was able to worship God. Now notice what he told her. The Bible says, look back if you would, in verse number 48, he says, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they set meat, would begin to say with themselves, who is this forgive sin? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, what? He says, now you go and do something with what you just got. Listen to me a minute. Let me ask you a question. Again, did you come to worship him? Two, do you really love him? How much do you love him? If so, what are you going to do with what he's done for you? Are you going to go and tell other people about it? When you quit seeing what he's done for you, let me give you this example, an illustration, and I'm going to close. Most of you know I worked with EMS for 25 years. Had a lot of different things that sticks in my mind. Right down the road here, about 4 or 5 miles down the road. Got a call one time to a trailer. I got there, it had been sub-zero weather for 3 days. This was before hypothermia was recognized. Matter of fact, Dr. Mays, that was alive at the time, he took this run and he went all over the nation teaching on hypothermia. But I went, and there was a 38-year-old woman laying in a trailer. She was laying there naked. She had bruises and things on her face. The windows in her trailer had been beat out. She'd been laying there for several days. And so when I got there, the coroner and the deputy sheriffs and different ones was there, and they pronounced her dead, and they was waiting and fixing to transport her to the funeral home to prepare her for burial. And I went in, and I knew the coroner real well, and I knew some of the deputies, but I went in, and I was just checking her out, and to touch her, she was so cold. Her skin was mottled, blotches of purple and white and so forth from lack of oxygen. And so while I was down there checking her pulse and so forth, and of course, you could put a monitor on them, but when they're that cold, they don't show rhythm a lot of times very well, but I was checking her pulse, and I noticed her stomach twinging. And I pulled her down in the floor and began CPR on her. And so the coroner thought I was crazy. He said, Bill, what are you doing? I said, she needs to go to hospital. And I was giving her breaths, and I was doing CPR, and the deputy said I was crazy, and I told him, I said, I seen her stomach twinge. I said, I want to give her a chance to live. And I continued CPR. And the coroner said, Bill, said, I'll go with your better judgment, and I'll follow you to hospital. And so I went, and we got to the hospital, and the guy by the name Dr. Russell was working at that time, and I brought him in, and he said, and we actually got her back twice on the way that she got breathing. She quit breathing again. I went in, I told the doctor, I said, we've had her back twice. He said, no, you haven't. He checked her core temperature. It was 61. 81 is fatal. 98.6 is what your normal body temperature. At that time, they thought it was fatal. And so he said, it's 61. So she can't be alive. She can't live. He said, but just out of respect for you, I'm going to warm her up before I pronounce her dead. And so the coroner was sitting there waiting for him to warm her up, pronounce her dead. And so I went on another run. When I came back, the doctor said, Bill, I'm sorry. She's up in second floor wanting to see you. And so I got called out on another run, so I come back. And I went up on second floor. And I walked up there, and I introduced myself. And she wrapped her arms around my neck. She began to cry, and she began to hug me and kiss me on my neck. And she said, I understand if it wasn't for you, I would have been at the funeral home right now getting embalmed. And see, she had such appreciation for what I did. My point is this. Do you realize what Jesus has done for you? How much do you love him? How much do you show your appreciation to him? Do you think, Merle, he's worthy enough that you should fall at his feet and weep and take your hair and wipe his head? Sure. He deserves every bit of it, don't he? You know why? Because of what he done for us. Now, let me ask you this, we get a song of invitation. Amazing Grace, by the way. You know who wrote Amazing Grace? An old drunker, slave trader that was the dirtiest, nastiest, meanest man ever was. They said he couldn't be saved. You know what God did? Saved him, and he wrote a song called Amazing Grace. This morning, did you come to worship him? Is he worthy enough for you to follow his feet and thank him for what he's done for you? How much do you see that he's forgiven you? 50 pence or 500 pence? What do you owe him? How much do you love him? Show his love. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Go feed my sheep. How about this morning as we stand, get a song of invitation? Maybe you're here this morning. It's been a while since you've just come and said, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to worship you. God, forgive me where I fail to be reminded of how much you've done for me. And this morning you need to come. Maybe you're here and you just need to be saved this morning. You say, Brother Billy, I can't worship because I'm not saved. And I need to put my faith and trust in Christ. And this morning you need to come and ask him to save your soul. Would you do that this morning? How about it? We're not going to tarry invitation all day. If God's speaking your heart, you step out. Respond. How about it?